know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Mamoonsi, alongside me, as always, the legendary Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how are you doing today?
Doing awesome. Doing awesome. Great week, and great week in the league and in the association. And I'll tell you what, things are starting to get where you start to understand who is who in the league.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had a great week on NBA 2K26. I made a new point guard build. I'm absolutely frying people. I'm shooting, if BJ was still on the show, he would hate it. I'm shooting exclusively threes. I'm putting up like 17 a game, and I'm shooting 60, 70%. And it's lights out right now because the new season of NBA 2K26 is round the corner. So if you don't yet have your copy, I don't know what you're doing. You need to go and get NBA 2K26. Get involved with the My Player. You can come and play against me. Shout out to all the people who message me when I'm playing against them. Yes, it is really me. They've scanned me into the game. So if you see me, it is me. And it's probably me getting mad at my teammates. But it's fantastic. They've got my team on there as well. You can play with some former players, some current players, WNBA players. It's amazing. So get your copy of NBA 2K26. But Coach, let's talk about the league because a lot is going on. Mm-hmm. I want to start in the ATL, where the Atlanta Hawks, you know, Trae Young, the face of their franchise, went down with an MCL sprain that's keeping him out for 4 weeks. And a little bit of an interesting conversation has arisen because the Hawks look pretty good without Trae Young. Now, it's worth bearing in mind, Trae Young is in a contract year almost. He's got a player option for $49 million next year. Usually players in their prime don't take those player options. They renew on a much higher contract. So it's interesting that he's not yet extended. And the Hawks now, without Trae, their defense is a whole lot better. The offense is fantastic in the open court. In the half court, it kind of struggles a bit. But I feel like the brand of basketball with a Jalen Johnson-led team, and then, of course, a backcourt of Dyson Daniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, is very tough to play against. And I think they're more fun to, and it's no disrespect to Trae, I just think the team style is more fun for a lot of fans to watch right now.
Yeah, it's a great point, Mo, on your part. When Trae did his first, when he did his contract extension and they pretty much maxed him out the last time, the economics in the league were different and the first and second apron wasn't there. And now everything has changed. So, and the other thing I got to give credit for, they have a whole new front office in there that didn't do his last contract. So that's a big difference. And I think the big thing now is you're seeing a Quinn Snyder led coach team. And I think what we're seeing from his standpoint is that he's really got some really great balance. His team is back. It's healthy this year. And I think you're seeing that when a key player goes down, they're still able to survive. And that's what you really want in a good team. When one of your key guys is out, that you don't fall apart. And that's just a credit to all the guys in the team, the coaching staff, et cetera. I think they'll be very good when Trae comes back. I think he'll just add more fire to them. But I think the big thing now is, if you had to ask me to put my front office hat on, I like to have my coaching hat on because I can second guess coaches. But in my front office hat, I will say they will not extend him, but he will pick up his player option because no one will give him that kind of money. And I think the economics are such in a league is that this will be the last year of Trae's big money, probably, and his future contracts will be downwards. Not that him as a player, the economics have forced him to be downwards. My opinion only.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think they're 8-4 since he's been out with injury, but they've had a very nice schedule. I think the best teams they've played in that schedule were the Raptors and the Lakers. They've not really played any top tier. Well, I say that like the Raptors aren't near the top of the Eastern Conference, but you know what I mean? They've not played the Thunders and the Nuggets of the world. So Their schedule has been favorable. So I wouldn't buy too much into that record. You know, they had a nice 5-game win streak, but I wouldn't buy too much into that. If you were the GM of the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young said to you, I want a max or close to a max extension, or I'm going to demand a trade as players do nowadays, what would you say to him?
I would say, let's focus on winning and getting you healthy. Number one, to get a trade partner nowadays, you have to find someone that can to take on his money. you know, and I'm not going to accommodate that, to be honest with you, unless I get something that helps me. And if you want to become a free agent, then you just turn down your player option in the spring.
You leave that 50 mil on the table for us.
I hate to say it, and I don't mean to use bad language on a Sunday, especially with my brothers overseas, but hey, I'm a tough son of a bitch to negotiate with. I am not a friend of agents or players in this case. I reward those, and I try to give you your value. And 49 million is a hell of a lot of money. And gosh, I want him to focus on getting the Hawks in the playoffs and doing well, like he did early in his career.
Well, I'm glad I'm an agent, because it wasn't too difficult to negotiate with Coach Sir to get him on a contract podcast. No. It wasn't quite 49 million, but
It was a friends and family deal.
Friends and family discount. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it, Coach. So it's interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on the Hawks, but I really do love that more defensive lineup, especially with that backcourt that I mentioned, Nikhil and Dyson. And Nikhil's showing that he can really score. He's had a couple of big performances. That's really exciting.
And don't you love Jalen Johnson? I mean, he's one of my favorite players in the league. And he's one of the players that not that many people really outside of the real know about on a nationwide scale. And I think he is so valuable.
Well, we're talking about, you know, stars and high contracts being traded. I want to get to talking about a few more of those. But before we get to that, I want to talk about one of my favorite players. Because, Coach, you know, I like players that resemble me at this stage of my life. A little bit slower, a little bit more crafty. You know, I'm not jumping out of the gym no more. But that man, Derek Queen, over in New Orleans, is balling right now. He's had some huge performances. You know, they had a coaching change, and now he's getting a few more minutes than he was getting before. He's been simply fantastic. They're calling him Baby Jokic. Do you agree with that?
Not at all. I think, first of all, Jokic is... I mean, it's just not fair to compare anyone to him. He's so far, in a way, in my opinion, the best player in our league. And I think Jokic said it best the other night when he played against him. He shouldn't compare himself to me. He's terrific on his own.
Yeah, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks in that game.
He just let him be him. He is going to be a terrific player. It was a, you know, Troy and Joe knew exactly the kind of player that Troy, who had known him very well from the area where Troy's from, what we call the DMV, the Washington, D.C. area, he knew the player he was since he was a high school kid. And, you know, a lot of people, and I'm sure you're going to ask me about it, you know, did they give up too much to get that pick? You know, we'll talk about that when you ask me the question.
Yeah, I mean, they made the trade on draft night.
Yeah.
They took Derek Queen with the 13th overall pick, and the Hawks in return received the 23rd pick, where they got Asen Newell, and they got the 2026 first round pick, unprotected, the most favorable of New Orleans or Milwaukee. And with the Pelicans right at the bottom of the standings, that could turn out to be a top 5 pick. So there's a good chance that that pick ends up being AJ DeBanser or Cam Boozer or Darren Pearson or one of these guys who's got so much, you know, so much of a reputation before they even played in the NBA. Now, if you're the New Orleans Pelicans, I can kind of see the vision, right? Because you took Fears and now you traded for Queen. And you're saying, these are my two young guys we're going to build around moving forwards, okay? We believe in these guys. Some people say, why didn't they take Queen with the Fears pick and so on and so forth? They did what was necessary to get their guys. Now, the price they paid, you are betting on Derek Queen being better than any of the top 5 picks next year. Now, if that happens and that works out, in 10 years' time, everyone's going to look back and say, what an amazing trade.
Sure.
People are trying to kill Joe Dumars for making that trade already. We don't know what that pick ends up as. We don't know who they take with that pick, and we don't know how their career turns out. What we do have, though, is Fears and Queen playing meaningful minutes alongside each other in the NBA at the ages of 19 and 20, getting pro reps together, which I think is extremely valuable. It also, another layer to this trade is you've picked up a guy in Derek Queen who occupies the same spaces on the court as Zion Williamson, plays the same position as Zion Williamson. It now makes Zion Williamson say, okay, I'm now expendable to this team. I have to start playing better. I have to be in better condition. I have to be more available than I was before because this rookie's come in and he's going to eat up my minutes. So now it leaves you in a position where I don't think they will anytime soon because his trade value is pretty low right now and you don't want to trade when you don't have leverage. But it puts them in a position where they can then flip Zion, who when healthy is a top 10, top 15 player in the NBA when he's healthy. It allows you to move Zion Williamson. It is kind of disappointing that Jordan Poole experiment hasn't been working out great so far. DeJounte Murray's still out with injury. But if Jordan Poole could figure it out, DeJounte Murray gets back, the Pelicans are nice on paper. Whether that translates to wins, as there's not been a lot of wins so far this season, is another question. But I can see the logic, and like I get it. Everyone loves draft picks. Everyone loves the unknown, you know, because a draft pick could turn out to be the greatest player we've ever seen because it's not a player yet, right? But they have Derek Queen. The deal's been done. And what I love is Derek Queen in an interview said, I think I'm better than all the guys in next year's draft. So I don't care. I'm going to make the most of my opportunity. And I like that mentality from the young fella. He knows that the franchise believes in him to the extent that they went and traded that pick for him. And we're going to have to wait and see if it works out. But what are your thoughts on that trade and how it's all going to pan out?
Yeah, I think Troy and Joe would have liked to have gotten some lottery protection. And Atlanta just said no.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of, and this trade was, I'm sure, was done literally in those five minutes or so when the draft pick is made.
Yeah, and well, so, they picked Fears at 7.
Right.
And then in Joe's interview, he said after they picked Fears, they called every team with a pick after them. So they called the Nets. Nets said no. They called the Raptors. Raptors said no. They called the Rockets. Rockets said no. So on and so forth.
Right.
Until the Hawks at 13 agreed to that trade.
And so you, at that point, you say either you give us what we want or we're not trading them to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically on desperate. And they believed what they did. I'm not going to question my friend Joe Dumars because his track record is impeccable. You know, and time will tell. But they got the player they wanted, and they didn't have to wait a year to see who they're going to get or to hope that they stink this year to get a high pick. So I think they did, you know, from their standpoint, the right thing. The big thing for me is really they're playing Queen mainly at center right now because they're playing small ball, and that's the way Borrego wants to play, the new coach. And, you know, and they have some really good perimeter players. The big thing is can Zion come on the court and be healthy, because at a 6'5", 6'6", player, he plays so much bigger. And he really, at his spot, he's really unstoppable when he's healthy. So all of a sudden now, if Zion's healthy, Queen's good, Trey Murphy's a terrific player, now you got our squad.
Herb Jones is a fantastic defender.
So, I mean, I like what they're doing. Health has been an incredible issue down there for the last couple of years, and hopefully that thing can turn around for the franchise since it's only 50 miles away from where I live, you know.
Well, long term, would you rather see Zion get healthy and back for the Pelicans? But if he does come back and gets healthy, would you like to see him traded, or can you see him being traded?
A healthy Zion is one of the, as you said, one of the 15 best players in the league. But you're not going to get value for him for the rest of his career in a trade because of the injuries and all the games missed. So I think you just better, you either keep him, hope he gets better, or if not, you trade him, get him off the books type of thing for expiring contracts.
Well, we had our friend Bobby Marks on the show. If you guys haven't heard that episode yet, you should check it out, because the new NBA with all these contracts and the way the CBA is structured is a very different place. You know, we just talked about Trae Young maybe not getting a max. I don't know what Zion's next contract looks like, but it's not going to look like the contract he signed in his first extension. We also have a lot of other players around the league, right? Trae Young, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant in Memphis, Anthony Davis in Dallas. These are all big name players, big contract players who are seemingly unsettled, unhappy, or maybe the team thinks they're expendable.
The team might be unhappy too.
Yeah, the team might be unhappy, right? Because I don't think Trae Young is unhappy in Atlanta, but I think, you know, looking at the team. Now, are we going to see kind of a revolving door of these stars just trading places with one another? How do you see these situations panning out? Because I'm seeing rumors of Anthony Davis going to the Chicago Bulls, who have Vucevic and Kobe White on expiring contracts. And there are a lot of rumors floating about. But I don't see any of these guys, in particular Ja and Zion. I don't see a market for them, given the off-court issues that have been prevalent alongside their lack of production or availability on the court.
That's the key word, availability. You know, so if you can't perform, you know, and Anthony Davis's contract is absolutely huge, and Rich Paul is already hinting at an extension. I think the guy is 32 years old at least, and unhealthy. So, you know, the last thing you want to do is extend a player to making $60 million that might not be playing. Makes no sense. Next year, the Bulls are getting what we call their books in shape with, I think, 8 free agents, of which several of them are very productive guys, like you mentioned, Kobe White, Vucevic. They have some really good players that are expiring contracts. They got Josh Giddey on a terrific contract.
25 a year, flat rate, I mean, for the next 3 years, yeah, after this,
I mean,
one.
So they really did a good job with him. And I think that's the value for good players now. It's in that market of the 25. Mm. Ja Morant's in the 50 million, you know, wants to be in that 50 million area. I think his days of that are over.
You know, our friend Mr. Armstrong used to come on his show and he would say a max player has to do one of two things, either mm-hmm. increase the bottom line or the top line, which is winning or revenue generation. And, you know, when people ask me about max contracts and so on and so forth, I think it's insane that at any one time there would be more than 10 players on max contracts in the NBA.
Right.
Because I don't think there's more than 10 guys that really, in my opinion, I would only give a max contract to a guy who turns us into a championship contender, okay? Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers, he took less than a max, but that was a max player coming off a finals MVP run in Toronto. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a max contract player. Luka Doncic, max contract player. Jason Tatum, max contract player. But there are a lot of guys in this league, like the ones we're discussing right now, you know, the ADs, the Zions, the Jazz, who have max contract based on potential. Oh, if he gets healthy, then we're going to have the best defense in the NBA. If he gets healthy, he's one of the best scorers in the league. If he gets healthy, we're unstoppable. We can make a playoff run. Availability, when we say it 100 times, availability is the best ability. And with the new CBA, are you saying then all of these guys right now who are on max contracts or nearby max contracts, they're no longer going to be in line to receive them? And so we're going to see a bunch of guys on maxes currently who, when they get extensions, are down to like the 30 million mark.
Yeah, I think so. And I think you see it in like a team like Golden State that has two players, one making 60 and Steph, and the other, Jimmy Butler, I think, is at 53. I mean, those are enormous numbers. It used to be teams wanted to get three players on a max deal. Now you can't do it economically. So I think you're going to get two max players at the most. But I think we got to get them in that 25 to 30 area. And you know what? Otherwise, you might lose a player. Let him walk to a team like Brooklyn that has, tell a player, you know, go where the money is. But that team can only take one or two players. So I think you're going to see some reshuffling of the deck chairs, so to speak. And I think it's going to be interesting. But I think the economics in this league have severely changed the agents.
Yep. Chicago, Utah, Portland, Washington. They're the teams who are going to have significant cap space next summer. Ironically, they're not the places that free agent stars would want to sign up to. So now they're going to have to make a choice, because the days of Miami going and getting three superstars or LA going against superstars
can't happen.
It's going to be a lot more difficult now. And do you think we're going to see a trend now of more and more players staying with the teams who drafted them?
Well, you saw it last year in all the players that got extensions where they were. I think that is the trend, and that's really what we wanted in the league. We wanted players to be loyal to their franchise. Fans love that. In the NFL, they were losing players because of a hard cap. We don't want that. We want fans to be loyal to the and love the players that have performed well for them. I think that's what we want, and so the best deal comes if you stay, if they want you where you're at, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy money in the NBA. It's going to be interesting to see. And I think the best value contracts right now are the rookie contracts. Because if you've got a Wembanyama producing MVP caliber basketball on a rookie deal, that's the best contract in the NBA.
In the NFL, it's the same thing. Rookie contracts for quarterbacks are the best thing because it's the lowest they'll ever be. It's the same thing. That second contract, if you've really performed in your first 4 years, then you're really... You know, we got a bargain for you. And even if you were the first pick, and now I think this is what we're going to see. We're going to see teams staying there. They up them, but But I don't see think we're, and again, if you look at the way the collective bargaining is, you know, the really super max players can get up to, I think, 35% of your team's entire cap, which is really a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, it's insane. I don't think we're going to see many teams putting 70% of their salary into two guys. And, you know, if they do, it's sustainable for a year or two max. And then they have to break up the team, much like the Boston Celtics did.
That's what Cleveland is struggling with right now. You know, they have, because a player was all NBA and defensive player of the year, he gets a super max contract. And now, you know, you better win right now or else it can't be sustained.
Yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think a lot of people expected the Cavs to be one or two in the East right now. A little bit disappointing. I know Garland's missed a lot of time with injuries so far.
He's another player that's going to go down in this contract.
Yep. Were you expecting more from Evan Mobley this year?
That's the player I'm referring to. Exactly.
This is what I'm talking about. It's like I expected him to make the leap this season. I talked about it with Larry Nance, who's on the Cavs, on his episode. If you guys haven't heard that yet, go check it out. But I did expect a little bit more from Evan Mobley.
Yeah, Evan Mobley, we love him. He came in the league. He's a great defender and everything, but he's not a great offensive player. Now he's starting to shoot because of Kenny Atkinson's emphasis on offense and three-point shooting. He's starting to shoot a lot of threes. When you're 6'11", I don't want you shooting a lot of threes, personally. I want you to get inside. You know, they have another really, you know, Jared Allen's a really good big man. They have a potential to have two really good big people to really influence the game. Unlike very many teams in the league with two, you know, Houston might be the, and even they're better than Houston's two bigs, in my opinion, together because they're both better than Steven Adams is offensively.
But you know, we're talking about rookies having the best value on contracts in the NBA. This week, NBA scouts are flocking to Las Vegas on Monday through Wednesday to watch some of the top players that are coming out in the draft soon. Coach, you've worn your coaching hat, you've worn your front office hat. Now it's time to wear your scouting hat.
Yeah.
Who are you liking the looks of early on in this cycle before we get to next year's draft?
Well, the thing that I always enjoyed when I was scouting is just like anything else, players have reputations. The reputations, we start scouting them when they're 15, 16 years old, when they're in high school playing AAU basketball. We follow their careers. And then now when they are coming into college, now we get to see them. But now when we see them in college, to see them play against another lottery pick, that is priceless. You get to see them if they went to a big school, which most of these kids all do. You get to see them when they play what they call league play, whether they're in the ACC, the Big Ten, or the SEC. You get to see them there. But till January, they play what we call non-conference schedules. That's 13 games against anyone. And now there's two types of schedules that are made. One, teams that play non-conference teams that are, frankly, very, very poor. And you're just trying to get wins as a coach. Then there's other programs like Duke and Alabama, Illinois, that say, you know what, Michigan State, Kentucky, Carolina, and say, we're going to put our players, Houston, against the best players in the country, the best teams, to see where we are to evaluate us. We're not worried about wins. We're worried about getting them ready for the league play. Mm-hmm. So what I love to see is I want to see the guys from Houston play against the guys from Alabama and the guys from Duke go against the Kentucky guys. Because now all these big reputation high school guys, you see them compete. Where in high school, when they play this AAU summer basketball, the teams are so stacked. You know, it was like Cooper Flagg, Derek Queen.
On the same high school team.
Are so lopsidedly great, they win every game. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, you go to college, the teams aren't lopsided. And now you get to see them play against. So they have a couple of events in Las Vegas this week that are absolutely fascinating. A whole new experience in college basketball. It's called the Player's Error. And basically, each team that plays out there, I think there's 16 teams, each team gets $1 million. This has never happened before. People would go to Hawaii for the Maui Classic. You'd get expenses as a team. That's it. This money is going to the school to give to the players for their collect, for their basically their salaries.
Yeah.
It is. It's a phenomenal business opportunity. Next year, going to 32 teams. So I think you're going to see every team there, and you're going to see scouting, and I'm anxious to see what the heck comes out of it. That's what I love, matchups.
Do you have an early read on next year's draft? Who, if you had the number one pick, who would you take? Have you got a top three in order or anything?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's way too early. And plus, I got to really see my team's needs. I think, you know, we have a tendency to the people that are doing the draft to put out their rating boards. They do that. But A.J. Duwamsa, everyone had him as a guy. But I might not need that position. I might need a big. I might need a point guard. I got to, and I think it's getting to that point now where, you know, sometimes you, people would say, oh, I'll take the best available player. It depends on how to, if your team stinks, better, you know, you better get something that makes your team significantly better. So, no, I think there's a lot of really good players. I love Arizona's Koa Pete, 6'8", 6'9", strong, physical. I love a couple of the guys. I love Florida's team. They have, just like last year, they have two or three NBA players, but not the stars. Duke's got two or three NBA players. Mm. Kentucky's probably one of the biggest disappointments we have in college basketball. They spent $22.5 million on player salaries.
Wow.
Player salaries. And they haven't been very good. So I think what we're going to see is we're now, and for these kids that are coming from high school into this, they're shell-shocked. Because they've never played against so many good players on one team. That's what I want to see, how they grow, how they handle the adversity, you know, and stuff. Cam Boozer, obviously, Carlos Boozer's son, is really good. But I think there's a lot of good players. And Louisville has Mikael Brown, who's just a fabulous guard, 6'5". So there's so many good players. I think we're going to see that, you know, as it comes out. But I think it's going to be a fun year. And, boy, if you're in the lottery, you better not make a mistake.
Mm. Well, speaking of really good young players, how about Con Knipl? I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, but that's what we're going to go
Con
with.
Con Knipl, Wisconsin from incredible.
He went to Duke alongside Cooper Flagg, and he's taken the Rookie of the Year trophy that everyone penciled into Cooper Flagg's house because over the last 10 games, he's putting up 22.7 points, 6.5 rebounds on 51, 42, 94 splits. That's 60%, 66% true shooting. Just the third rookie in NBA history to average over 20 points a game on 50, 40, 90 splits over a 10-game span. He has been fantastic for the Charlotte Hornets. Is he the Rookie of the Year so far?
Well, I think right now he is. I think it's going to come down to him and Cooper Flagg, to be honest with you. I really do. And your buddy Queen is might make a run now because he's getting a lot of minutes and time. But I think what you're seeing with these guys is they played a high caliber basketball. But since he got there in the summer, in August, to work out, guys on their coaching staff said, since the first day he got here, he dominated. And he's not an athletic kind of guy. He dominates by a couple of ways. He plays incredibly hard. He's incredibly smart. And man, can he make shots. He's also unique in that a lot of guys play off 1 foot.
Mm-hmm.
He plays off 2 feet, very balanced and stuff like that. I think they got themselves. People were not in love with that pick.
People hated that pick.
Yes. Great point, Mo. And I'll tell you what, I was a little shocked by it. Then they picked another Duke guy with another second round pick. And then they picked, you know, the kid in the second round, Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton. You know, who's old.
He's like he damn near hasn't missed a shot yet.
Kalkbrenner is, I say this, when you find a white guy that can block shots, that is incredible. So, I mean, and this guy is a terrific guy. He's very mature. You know, they got some really young players. If we can only get LaMelo Ball on the court a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
They have a nice young team.
Well, he's another player that's in those trade rumors we discussed earlier.
100%. He's at a very high contract. And again, I'm making a business acquisition. I acquire a business. Oh, but you're not there for half the games or 60 or 70% of the games. That's a tough acquisition.
Here's what's fascinating for LaMelo Ball. In his second year, he played 75 games.
Terrific.
Aside from that, right, as a rookie, he played 51. Then he played 75 in his second year. Then since then, 36 games, 22 games, 47 games. This season so far, he's played 10 games. Fantastic talent. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago on his show. Amazing talent. But can you be out there on the floor producing for your team?
And the reason, the first thing is, he's a good kid. He loves. But my point is this, something, and Bill Walton was a Hall of Famer, God bless him. He was so great, but he had an incredible foot injury, and it took him off the court. And if a guy, because of something physical, is not going to be able to play, I don't care how good he is. That's the whole key. Other than, this right now in year 23, one of LeBron James's great things is availability.
Yep.
The guy, and he loves to play. And so I think that's something that, it measures into value. And that's what you and I are talking about.
Well, we're talking about all these great young players. Let's talk about the old players for a minute. Because the Golden State Warriors, who have a very old roster, currently sit eighth in the West at a 500 record. They've lost their last three in a row. They're 4-6 over their last 10. How concerned are you about Golden State? And that's before we get onto the uncles at the Clippers, who are 12th at 5-11. How concerned are you about the Golden State Warriors?
Don't mention that I picked the Clippers early on as my secret favorite, but I hope we get rid of that tape. Hey, I love Steve Kerr. You and I were talking about Steph Curry being maybe an MVP last week. I totally agreed with that. Jimmy Butler, when healthy, is one of the most cerebral, toughest, undersized players in the league. And Draymond Green is a Hall of Famer based on his defense.
He's still one of the best defenders in the league.
But they have three older guys that are all going to be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Jimmy Butler would be the quasi guy, but I think probably he'll make it. But the other two are definite, Steph and Draymond.
And Al, we talked about this last week.
And Al, because of his productivity and his success in college and pro. But I think I look at them, I see how they struggle on the road. Injuries are going to take a part. And I look at the West. We know the West is darn good. I look at them and say, if Steve and the guys do a good job, I think they're looking at an eighth place or play-in.
Oh, in the play-in. That play-in is going to be interesting.
I really think that. And that's not a knock on them. I'm big on, as you were, big on the West.
Mm-hmm.
Big on the West.
Well, how about them Clippers? 5-11, 2-8 in their last 10. Is there any solution here? Or is Father Time finally mismatched? Because it's like James Harden is trying to single-handedly will this franchise to wins.
Do you love that guy or what? It's incredible.
James Harden had my favorite quote the other night. Did you hear him? They said, I can't remember what the question was. She was like, what does the rest of your life look like, when you get done playing? He says, there is none. Basketball is my life. And I was like, yes, James, this is fantastic.
James, I think, absolutely loves to play.
Yep.
Loves to play. And to think about on a Saturday afternoon, you can go to Charlotte and put 55 up by yourself and you win.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you all you need to know.
Now, he's done more for the Clippers than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard combined.
And Kawhi's supposed to come back and play today. I hope he does, because Kawhi, when healthy, is...
Oh, yeah. Incredible. Oh, no, there's nothing like
incredible.
Him.
And again, another player with leg issues. And over time, it's cut short an absolute automatic Hall of Famer to where he doesn't get to play enough, unfortunately. But I'm unfortunate. I love this team. I love Ty Lue, Jeff Van Gundy, one of my favorite coaching staffs. Steve Ballmer's a friend of mine from Detroit.
Should I tell you what looks really bad for them? They needed help at a power forward and they went and acquired John Collins. Fantastic, fantastic
terrific
idea.
Terrific pickup.
However, Norman Powell, who they've given up, is he just played today. I was doing the game on Amazon Prime for the Heat versus Sixers. He's electric. He put up 30 plus, efficient scoring. Ridiculous right now.
Norman Powell is, he's, since he's come into this league, he has been an absolute baller. And he was shocked when he got dealt. A shock. And, but the good news is, I think he's from Jamaica. Is he Jamaica or Bahamas? I think one or the other. And
Jamaica.
Yeah. And to think that he gets to go to Miami, it's like, oh, okay. That's the bad news. Yeah. That's the bad news. Okay. And oh, by the way, we're going to change our style of play and we're going to go super, super fast. Oh, okay. I get to go one-on-one every time I touch it and try to take guys off the dribble. I watched him the other night. I think it was Thursday or Friday against the Bulls. The guy shot every time he touched it. Every time. It was ultimate green light. I mean, you know, he was fabulous. I just think that sometimes things work out when you don't want them. And to play for Spo, it's awesome for him. But on paper, that's why I always say, Mo, every trade you make, every decision you make in basketball and in life, it's 50-50 whether it's going to work. This has been one of them 50-50 where you screwed up.
Where do the Clippers go from here? Surely you'd like to think they don't continue losing at this rate for the rest of the season. But outside of James Harden, I really can't see many bright spots for them.
The only thing is their health. And if they can get people healthy. And then, of course, while they're on the road, Chris Paul announces he's retiring.
He announced it at the start of the season. No one really cared. And now they did an announcement with State Farm.
All of a sudden it became a big deal on a Saturday.
Yeah, because State Farm paid for it. So
at least he has a job when he's done working for State Farm. Yeah. But, you know, Chris has had an incredible career and all that stuff. But, he's even kind of slid out of their rotation a little bit. I mean, I don't know. You know, and right now I have them as a non-playoff team, and I thought they were going to be a problem.
Yep. It's one of those things. On paper, fantastic, but basketball's not played on paper. It's played on the hardwood, and
one of those where GM, Coach B, screwed up.
Yep.
I picked the wrong. I was wrong.
Hey, it happens to the best of us. It happens to the best of us. But a team that I wasn't super high on that has surpassed all of my expectations. How about those Toronto Raptors, second in the Eastern Conference, 11-5, 9-1 in the last 10 on a 6-game win streak. Talk to me about Toronto, Coach.
Yeah, I told you. I'm it's funny. I got to see them in their, I think Toronto, Sacramento's first exhibition game in Sacramento. They started out with Denver, you know, and the Clippers, and then they came to Sac. They'd been on the road for 2 weeks, had training camp in Vancouver. And I ran into the head coach, Darko Rečević, you know, the morning of the game, and we're old friends. And I said, we're exhausted. We're exhausted. I'm not even going to play Brandon Ingram tonight, you know, and all. And they just blew Sac out in an exhibition game. I said, this team's pretty good. And I told Scotty and BJ, I said, these guys are pretty good. And, you know, no one wants to believe that Toronto's going to be any good. And boy, they are. They can really defend. And they hustle, and they got young guys. They're small. They play, you know, they play Brandon Ingram, Scotty Barnes at the four. You know, they got R.J. Barrett, who's a walking bucket, you know, and Quigley's one of the fastest guards in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine John Calipari when he was coaching Kentucky? He's got Quigley. He's got, you know, he's got Maxey and guys like that.
Ridiculous. Guard.
I mean, like nuts. And so I just love what he's done. You know, as far as they put together, you know, a really good roster of young people. I think they're dangerous. I think they're really dangerous. And they're a really good road team, which is really important.
7-3 on the road. Do you think this is sustainable throughout the rest of the season? You think they're going to be a top four finish in the East?
Because they're young. They're young and, knock on wood, they're pretty healthy. So I think it is sustainable, barring major injury.
Well, the Heat are on a 4-game win streak. We spoke about them briefly. But what I'm intrigued by right now is 7-3 of the last 10, 3-game win streak for the Orlando Magic, who are starting to slowly, slowly piece things together after a big trade in the summer for Desmond Bane.
I'm really worried about Paolo Banchero, second major injury in a year. Still not playing, and they're playing well. it's funny. During the game yesterday against the Knicks, Jamal Mosley got taken ill and then literally had to leave the game because he was so weak. hopefully just a flu or something. And the best relief pitcher in NBA basketball is Joe Prunty, the assistant. Mm-hmm. He's been an assistant everywhere. And anytime a coach gets fired, Joe Prunty takes over. And the team does great.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hire a real coach. And Joe goes back to being an assistant. But this guy took over. And they were flawless yesterday. Well, so I really like their team.
They're playing the Celtics right now. Paolo's out with that left groin strain. Suggs is out, left knee injury management. Wendell Carter is out. Franz Wagner is playing wearing a face mask for his broken nose. Mo Wagner is out. And, you know, it's tough with this amount of injuries. We've seen a huge wave of injuries in the last week or so, last week and a half maybe, across the NBA. And a lot of people talk about, you know, it's because we're playing faster and so on and so forth. And I think, well, if everyone's playing faster and everyone's injured, surely, logically, you would simply, and this is groundbreaking, coach, yeah, slow down.
You know, I mean, I only went to college for 4 years. I actually went longer. But that would be what I would do. You know, if everyone keeps getting hurt doing something, let's not, you know, it's like driving without seatbelts in the States years ago. And then we said you have to drive with a seatbelt. All of a sudden, the injuries and deaths went down. Yeah, I mean, you stop smoking if it was bad for you, you know? I mean, you do things like that. If my guys are going to get hurt because we run too much, and then why are we doing it? I don't get it. But I know one thing. No matter how you play, there's teams that win and there's teams that lose. And if I'm losing, I got to do something to help me win. It's not to play the same way the best team at OKC plays. And I don't have OKC's talent. Mm-hmm. That's my thing is... play to the way your talent is and play a style of play that helps you win with the team you got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it fascinates me when all these coaches are sitting around saying, yo, everyone's playing faster, that's why we've got so many injuries. And I say, well, you're the coach, you're telling them to play fast.
You know, it's funny, I'm going to say this. When back in the day, Mo, we used to have training camp for 28 days. The Players Association negotiated with the league, not with the coaches or the teams, with the league to move it down to 21 days. And you could only have, instead of two practices a day, you could only have one.
Okay.
We used to have two practices a day, about an hour and a half, 2 hours in the morning where we would teach things. And then in the evening, we would scrimmage to practice the things we'd learn.
Yep.
Worked pretty good.
Yep.
Guys that we had that system with were guys like Michael Jordan and those guys. They averaged about 80 games a year, Karl Malone and them, with that system of overwork.
Climatize the body. Look at the team that plays the fastest in the NBA, the Miami Heat. And then you look at their pre-training camp conditioning tests, and you can't participate in training camp unless you pass the conditioning test, which, believe me, is very difficult.
And every team in the league now, league-wise, has to have a precondition. Had an NBA has instituted testing. So every team in the league is doing that. Some teams are still getting hurt. Fascinating.
It is fascinating. It is fascinating. I heard Kevin Durant and Kay Cunningham talk about it on Kevin Durant's podcast. All the tracking data that the NBA has now, all the players wear trackers and so on and so forth. I also heard Kay talk about his upcoming signature sneaker with Nike. Congratulations to Kay Cunningham. He's got a really cool logo where you know, the initials that the two C's spell out, they make a star kind of shape. It looks really cool. But I'm excited to see that signature sneaker come to fruition. And he deserves it because the way he's playing, the Pistons are on a 12-game win streak. Even with some games that he's missed with injury, they've not missed a beat.
I love what they've done up there. As I like to say, I wasn't good in history, in the subject history in school, Mo, but I'm really good in basketball history. And 3 years ago, this team lost 28 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they basically had to fire their coach, who they had given a 5-year
insane contract.
And then they basically brought in a new staff, a new GM. And all of a sudden now they've had a really good year last year. I think they might have won 47 games off the top of my head. Really had bad luck against the Knicks in the playoffs. Bad matchup to play the Knicks, but tough series.
Yep, 7 games.
J.B. Bickerstaff has been absolutely, think about it, Cleveland fired him.
Made no sense to me.
And then all of a sudden the guy ends up here. He is a terrific coach. His mm-hmm. daddy, his daddy Bernie, was an incredible coach. I hate to say it, JB might even be better. And his dad was fabulous. And I love Bernie. And but that's the kind of people they have there. They have tough guys. Duren, Isaiah Stewart. I mean, they got ballers there. I just like what they've done with their franchise. I'd like and Cade Cunningham was the first pick. It was deserving. A lot of people didn't get it because he was okay at Oklahoma State. Wasn't like, you know, superstar. But I'm telling you, the guy's got super high IQ. He's also a Mount Verde Academy player. Mm-hmm. You think mm-hmm. about that. And I think if the thing you see about him, he's got a great spirit about him. And I think it's so important. They have a really, really great chemistry as a group of players. And it goes a long way. They've all bought in to JB and the staff.
And in case anyone was wondering, over in the West, the Thunder are still sitting pretty at the top, 16-1, still on pace for that 70-win season.
We might relegate them out of the league so they just show up in the finals.
Yeah. We'll check back in on them later.
I totally screwed up that pick, but thank God we threw away that tape and I picked OKC from the beginning. I was only thinking that maybe they might get overconfident.
But they're not even healthy yet.
They're not even healthy yet.
You know what people complain about, right? Is they're like, oh, OKC just fouls everyone, right? Here's the thing. They play very physical defense. And yes, they do foul a lot that don't get called. But this is the same thing with Draymond Green. If that's just how you play, the ref is not going to call every single foul. If you just set the tone from day one, this is how we defend. I defend in a physical way. The ref is not going to foul you out in every single game. They just accept that's how you defend.
I'm going to tell you something about NBA officials. First of all, they're best in the world. Absolutely incredible. Basketball-wise, best in the world. But we have such a good development program for referees to get people in. Development league with our summer league and also with the G League. All those referees go through that system. But here's the best part, Mo. Every game that they referee, they are evaluated on every call that's made in that game and graded. And every referee, every night, whether you work or not, you are sent a videotape of about 10 minutes long, 15 minutes long, on every big play that was made the night before by every ref in the league and for you to learn from. Mm-hmm. I mean, they educate throughout the whole year. And they're right now we're going through a phase with very young officials, the youngest we've ever had in the league. So many of our best officials have now retired over the mm-hmm. course of the last 7-8 years. And so we've lost some great referees, but we're developing some really good young ones.
Yeah, shout out to the refs who, for the most part, do a good job. There are some other circumstances in which they make insane calls, but for the most part, they do a pretty good job.
Players miss shots, referees miss calls.
Yep, that's valid. I'm not mad when referees miss calls. I get mad when they give technical fouls for what I don't deem to be technical behavior. But I guess that's a memo they've received from the league office rather than
No, they're deciding. Actually very good about it. But we have a few magic words in the English language that they're not allowed to use. I'll share them on one of our secret shows.
All right. Well, Coach, I appreciate it as always. That's been another weekly recap. We should be back on Thursday with another guest for you guys. So stay tuned and stay locked in. If you haven't yet, Drew Hanlon came on the show last week and shared some amazing, amazing stories. And, you know, you can see his clients all around the NBA absolutely on fire right now. I just watched Tyrese Maxey for the Sixers. Unbelievable. So make sure you check that episode out. Anything else you want to add, Coach, before we wrap this one up?
No, it's funny. When Maxey went for 55 the other day, I text Drew and I said, good student you have there. Good student. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, to watch that kid, like Drew had said, watch him develop, how much he loves the game. He leads the league in minutes played. Don't you love that? That's what I love about the NBA.
40.7 a game.
When you see guys that love to play like he does. And that night, I believe he only played 49 minutes in the overtime games. You know, that's what you love about Maxey.
Man, I'm loving the NBA so far this season. I'm going to keep loving it all season long. If you haven't yet, get your copy of NBA 2K26. We'll be back on Thursday with a guest. Make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. It does help us a lot. So please go and do that. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is the best place to be all season long, the Hoop Genius podcast. And until next time, get buckets.